Radio this Thursday night, June 10th at 10 p.m. A tribute to Bob Dylan with performances by Stevie Wonder, Tracy Chapman, June Carter Cash and Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Chris Christopherson, Richie Havens, the Clancy Brothers, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Roseanne Cash and Sean Colvin, Neil Young, Chrissy Hynde, Eric Clapton, The Band, George Harrison, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Roger McGuinn, and eventually Bob himself joins them on stage. That's this Thursday night, June 10th at 10 p.m. on Folk Radio here on WBAI.
Now stay tuned for Education's at the Crossroads with Basir Machawi here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
Please come to the crossroads. Ari Zagioni, good evening. Welcome once again to Education at the Crossroads. My name is Basir Mchawi. It is Thursday evening. We are here. We understand we had a little technical mix-up a little earlier, and while we were getting ready to go on the air, we were leaking into the Julian Assange program. Well, you know, that was, of course, unintentional, and we didn't know it. But, of course, someone alerted us to it, and once we were alerted, we muted ourselves so that we could not be heard. Last week, if many of you were listening, you know that we did a show on ranked choice voting. And many of you also know that early voting will begin in 2 days on June 12th. One of the major races that we're dealing with now is, of course, the mayoral race. And there are several major issues, but of course there are, well, I have to say, in my estimation, three major issues. And they're really all backwards in regards to, you know, what's happening in terms of this mayoral race. You know, everyone is talking about crime as if, in fact, crime is the major problem we have in New York City. We've got several problems, but I think the major problems that we have are education and the failure of education in the educational system. And related to that, of course, is the failure of the economy. When we look at those two particular issues, we can see where everything else falls into play. If you want to talk about homelessness, if you want to talk about affordable housing or unaffordable housing, these are issues that are related to education and the economy. And of course, those two are inextricably linked. One of the things that none of the mayoral candidates, there are 13 mayoral candidates, no one is talking about the failure of mayoral control. We have at this particular point had 20 years of mayoral control of the New York City public schools, and it has been an abject failure. There is no way that anyone can claim that mayoral control has been a good thing. We're going to get into that this evening, and I've got a really excellent panel here to talk about it. And we need to talk about it now so that you can think about this when you go out to the polls and vote for your mayoral candidate, because folks are talking a lot of mess. And one of the things we see is that nobody wants to give up control of that $30+ billion budget, which the education budget at this particular point represents. They want to control it just as Michael Bloomberg did, just as Bill de Blasio did, and they want to continue in the kind of dismal failure that these two mayors have had so far. We've got a good panel here. I'm going to try to introduce you. Well, let you introduce yourself, kind of say who you are, what you do. We've got Benita Rivera. Benita, what's happening?
Hey, Brother Basir. Thank you so much for having me and the amazing activists that I'm working with in the coalition for to finally end mayoral control. So that's what's happening, is this activism and organizing and strategic work to make people aware about mayoral control and why it must end.
Mm-hmm. We've got Sam Anderson. Sam Anderson, no stranger to Education at the Crossroads. Sam, what's happening?
Everything around the privatization of public education has got to go. That's why we're here. That's why we formed this New York coalition to finally end mayoral control.
Okay. We've got Sean Ahern, who's going to give us the perspective of somebody who's still in the trenches. Many of us have left the trenches. I left the trenches gladly. I guess I did it at the right time. I was trying to run back to the plantation, and the people didn't let me run back to the plantation, but that may have been a blessing in disguise.
So, well, I think we still need you around here, Bashir. I am getting ready to leave the plantation, but I was pulled back in by some old friends, people who have been working against this mayoral control nonsense for 20 years almost. I first met Sam in about 2004 when we were just first talking about what's happening with this hiring of Black and Latino teachers? It's like he's made an about face. And we started to bring that up in 2004. And all of the other issues, the school closings, the privatization, the charter push-ins, the elimination of all these programs and schools, from career and technical education, shutting down the shops, to high-stakes testing for gifted and talented kindergarten classes. The list goes on and on and on. And, of course, for teachers, the persecution to little tin pot dictators at the school level. Parents might want them out. The students want them out. The teachers want them out. And there was no place to go. And this is the legacy of mayoral control. Mm-hmm. And, that's what we'll talk about today. And we are writing as a teacher. I'm still a UFT member. I'm still an active teacher and a member. And we're trying to get the UFT to stop messing around with mayoral control and to come out against it. Because we know that initially the UFT was crucial in actually allowing it to be instituted in the first place. And we know what the consequences were for teachers, for the communities, for the parents, for the schools.
Yeah. And we need to deconstruct a lot of this, and that's what we'll be doing, in this hour here. Brenda, unmute yourself and tell everybody what's happening, who you are, what you do. No stranger to Education at the Crossroads.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Brenda Walker, and I am one of those aged out parents who I guess I kind of hit my head and I bumped my head and hurt myself or did something. I don't know, but I'm still sticking in there, hanging in there, trying to fight this fight. Here we go doing this dance again. We got the team back together again to fight the ills of mayoral control. And so true, so true. Basir, none of these candidates are even dealing with the issue around mayoral control. But of course, we know why, because it's a mess. It's an epic failure. So we are here, myself and Muba from the Coalition for Public Education. We're still advocating. We're still doing our parent training and so forth, trying to raise awareness to the issue, to let parents know the power that they have. Let us keep fighting. This has to end. Parents need a voice. And so, mayoral control has taken the parents' voice. So we need to end it and put the parents back in control with the rest of the teachers and the school community and the students. That's what we need to do. And mayoral control does not allow us to do that.
Definitely. Muba, mute yourself so you can tell everybody who you are. Again, Muba Yaro Falani is no stranger to Education at the Crossroads. Muba, are you there? Can you unmute yourself and say a little something? All right, we'll have to get back to Muba a little bit later, I suppose. Okay, let's just start with mayoral control. People may not necessarily know what it is that we're really talking about. Sam and Sean, you've probably been, down with this the longest or whatever. When we talk about mayoral control in New York City public schools, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the erosion of parent involvement, direct parent involvement, the erosion of student involvement in the school governance procedures within their schools, as well as who makes the decision on where the monies go, where this $34 billion or whatever it is this year, maybe $36 billion, where is that money going? It all now comes out of the mayor's office. When Bloomberg set it up, He symbolically moved the office of the Board of Education. He symbolically moved it to be right next to his office. He moved it to Tweed, whereas it was at 110 Livingston Street. That was a symbolic move to show that he is in power. He is in control. This Board of Education is no longer a semi-autonomous body that has parental and community involvement, that this is his thing. De Blasio comes in and continues that process, so that what we have is over the 20 years is one, a loss of ways of parents to grieve or to bring issues to the board. That there, you know, we lost a lot of that aspect of parents taking issues into some place and getting an advocate to support them to do stuff. It is very, very difficult now to do that. We also lost the foundation of how one enters the electoral political arena in New York City. It was the school board in which, for example, de Blasio got his political start. Now, there, you know, that entree level is not there. It was also an entree level for parents who are not citizens of the United States to also participate in the democratic structure. That's not there. The curriculum and the hiring of teachers of color have been circumvented because of mayoral control. There is no central place to deal with the crisis that we face in the classroom with the disappearing Black and Latino faculty. Mayoral control just makes those kinds of issues non-issues. And there's no place for you to go and push it and say, look, we, you know, here's the demographics, and we don't, all we're seeing is Black and Latinx teachers disappearing for various reasons, and there's no new hirees coming to replace them. Mayoral control also laid the foundation for the charter school bum rush into New York City, as well as the privateers being able to, the hedge funders being able to have influence within the public school system to channel money into their projects away from the necessary rebuilding of some of the more dilapidated schools that we have. So mayoral control is basically a comprehensive program to bring power and wealth into more of the 1%'s hands, more of the rich white folks' hands, at the same time dumbing down our students. When we look at the record, the educational excellence record of our students, we see that we are far from what we were in 1988 or 1990 in terms of student cognitive development and so forth. So that's just a scratch, and I'm sure others can join in and also further enhance on the horrors of mayoral control.
Mm-hmm. Sean, how did we get here? You know, how did we end up with mayoral control, and what has been its impact on teachers in classrooms around the city? You got to unmute yourself. You got to unmute yourself, Sean.
Sorry about that. It's a long conversation, Bashir, but just to sketch it, you know, they had the struggle around community control in 1968, that those efforts were crushed, and they came up with this new sort of mixture of some kind of control for parents in the schools. And then at the same time, shortly after that was instituted, we had the city fiscal crisis, and schools were devastated because they were just strangled. They'd lost all their funding. So there was a massive problems with the schools. And this is still, you know, while we had the old system of, you know, where people had more control of the system. Then in the 90s, you know, the city started to come back a little bit, and there started to be more money coming into the schools. I started in 99, and I had known how bad the schools were, but when I got into 99, I says, wow, I was surprised. There was money there. It was sort of being well run. And there was some innovation going on too. And then, you know, we have 9/11, and, you know, and Giuliani was the mayor, and they had that Crewe was the chancellor, and Crewe and Giuliani were at odds, to fighting with each other, and Crewe gets pushed out by Giuliani. And then there's 9/11, and sort of everything gets confused. Everything is like chaos. And in comes Bloomberg saying that he wants mayoral control. Now, the UFT had always never let Giuliani have mayoral control. That Giuliani and the UFT were at loggerheads, you know, and they wouldn't let Giuliani take over the schools. Bloomberg comes in here and he promises to throw a lot of money into the schools to help settle a contract. And the UFT, which has a lot of, you know, through the state organization, they have a lot of influence in Albany. You know, they're a powerful lobby in the state. And they, instead of opposing Bloomberg's call for mayoral control, they let it go in. The contract is signed. They have a contract with in 2002. And as a result, we have mayoral control. I think the UFT could have stopped it in 2002. The problem was, in my opinion, there's a lot of confusion and propaganda about the old system. And I don't think that I don't think you can describe the old system as a failure of parental control or parental involvement at all. If anything, things were getting better and better. And the greatest danger, in my opinion, was that that would be successful. So it had to be ended. And so Bloomberg comes in, and he comes in, and it's through mayoral control that the so-called education reform is brought to New York City. And as Sam said, it's based in privatization. It's based in the idea that the people cannot run themselves. They need to have the experts, they need to have the elite, they need to have all these other people coming in and deciding what is the proper thing to do. And we can go through a litany of disasters brought into New York City with mayoral control that never would have passed muster with any parent body in New York City. They would have stopped these things. And now, you mentioned the mayors, the candidates, more than half of the Democratic mayoral candidates are bemoaning the state of education, and they have their list of different things that they're going to fix. These are all consequences of mayoral control.
Right.
But none of them will say anything about mayoral control. Mm-hmm. They're all saying how we're going to solve this problem, and I have this great plan, and I'm going to listen to parents, and, you know, parents are going to have voice, and I'm going to listen to educators, and blah, 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 blah. But none of them say a word about mayoral control. And that's the central thing. Why, in the biggest school system in America, have we allowed this kind of, Sam used to call it mayoral dictatorship. Mm-hmm. It's mayoral dictatorship. It's not democracy. Mm-hmm. It is an elite little group running everything. And that elite little group is very easily controlled by big money. The hedge funds, the real estate interests, you know, schools become party to gentrification and all these other kind of things. And, it's mayoral control is the problem. We need to figure out another way where the people are running a people's board of education, as Sam has said many times. And I think it's in the interest of educators. I think it's in the interest of parents. I think it's in the interest of New York City to stop this move towards, it's a plutocracy. It's ruled by the wealthy, ruled by the rich, without any input. And nobody seems to be, this doesn't enter into the mayoral race. It's like, what kind of, what's going on? There's a level of unreality here.
Well,
that has to be pierced by some direct action from below, in my opinion.
And that's why I figured we needed to have this conversation before people go out to vote on the 12th. Benita, come on in and weigh in on this particular question and, how you come and why you're even concerned about this issue of mayoral control.
Thanks, Basir. I am a human rights education activist, and of course, I was an involved parent of a Black and Latino student, 2004, when I fully did not understand how to get my kid into who at the time was in middle school, how to get him into what I thought was a decent high school. And the drama trauma since then of being part of and looking for other parents who felt the same way, that my son and their students were being miseducated and misdirected at a vital time in their lives when high school is such a turning point to the rest of their adult lives. And I found the Independent Commission on Public Education. I found Sam from ICOPE, the Independent Commission on Public Education, learned about human rights work, and then went on to be part of the Parent Commission on School Governance and Mayoral Control that came out with a report. And from there, I met Akinlabe, McCall, Sam Anderson again, Sean Ahern, Brenda Walker, Muba, G2 Aosi, and worked with them all to form, and others, to form the Coalition for Public Education. We really did a lot of work there within the Coalition for Public Education. And that group, I left officially in 2014. I was working with the Mothers Agenda New York, also called the Many, and that was specific to women's movement around education. CPE continued to do that work and create. We had a tribunal. There was learning and listening sessions. We met weekly, and you know, big events where more than 100, sometimes almost 200 people would show up. And as a coalition, we worked together to bring attention to the issue of this governance structure that was all about control, the changing demographics across the nation, where white folks, wealthy white folks, were being concerned about the browning of America. And I believe that all of that, you know, came together under the one percenters, you know, want to, their desire to stay in control. Controlling education means that you control your workforce. It means that you actually direct how people can live. And of course, you need to have a working class and a lower class to do grunt jobs, to do the menial jobs. Well-educated people are not going to be taking those kinds of jobs. And so if you control education, you control the masses. And that's why, to me, this is really, this issue is really important, because as the racial strife comes to a head in this country and people are recognizing how Black and brown and indigenous people and Asian people have been brutalized for generations, comes the understanding that something is wrong with our schooling system, and something is wrong, not the plantation part of it that we should be focused on like so many other education groups are, but we should be focused on who controls education, who is making those decisions about policy. And that's why I've been involved for the last almost 20 years with my ride or die folks who are right here, you know, on your program, because these are true warriors and who truly love and are concerned, not just about Black children, but about all of the children, particularly those who have been marginalized by the social ills, poverty and poor housing, homelessness, incarceration, all of the social ills that have affected our communities of color. And so this issue of governance and not necessarily tweaking what goes on in the plantation of public education, but the larger frame of how do we get free of this and institute controls of our own where we have a voice. That's why a People's Board of Education is so important. That's why I'm in this.
Definitely, definitely. You know, normally at this point, I take a little musical interlude, and I've got an interesting piece of music. My first job out of college, my first full-time job after I graduated, was in the IS-201 demonstration district. And in that district was a musical group that came out of IS-201 called the Voices of East Harlem. We're going to get to that, but we're going to do that later. But we have to continue our conversation here. Just to remind everyone, you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. We're streaming live at WBAI.org. You can actually see us on Facebook at Education at the Crossroads. If you go to that Facebook page, you can actually see us. I remember, one brother called up and said, "Man, I thought you were young. I saw you and you had all this gray hair and stuff." You know, I said, "Yeah, that's right." And all this gray hair is authentic. It is earned. Brenda, you know, we want to hear from you and Muba. Muba, are you all right? Can you unmute yourself there?
Yes, I apologize. My phone
don't apologize.
Seized, and I was speaking. You weren't hearing me, and so I apologize to that.
No apologies necessary. Yeah. You are a parent on the move, and you are currently a parent within the school system, so I know your hands are full. Give us a little bit in terms of your perspective in terms of this mayoral control and how it's impacted the education of your children.
So my name is Mubayaro Fulani, and I have been an advocate for re-educating parents to be an advocate for their children in this miseducational system. And as long as this miseducational system exists, I will continue fighting with all those who want to join me to continue this fight. I have been an elected parent leader and made it clear that decisions will be made by parents in the schools that I am elected to serve parents and students. It is very important that when we hear the word control, it's a negative. That's number one. You hear the word control, it's a negative. So when we have the word mayoral control, we know we are on the wrong path. That's the wrong.
You muted yourself, Muba, some kind of way. You hit something and got muted. Yep. Got those technical issues here. Muba went out. Can't hear you, Muba. All right, listen, Brenda, you're up. We got to...
All right. Oh, she's back.
Move your back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what's happening with my phone. So I apologize again. So, yes, the word power. We as parents have to have power. We must have must be decision makers in the educational system. We must. So until that takes place, until our children get an education of excellence, Muba, Brenda, Benita, Sean, Sam, and many more will continue this fight for changes that our future will be the future that deserves for our children in the school system. So okay. I am here, and the fight goes on.
Indeed. And Brenda, talk about this for a little bit, and then we have to talk about some solutions and things that this group has come up with in regards to what needs to happen and what we need to do to go ahead and get rid of mayoral control.
So, you know, we're in a real funny place right now because of this pandemic, you know, so it's, you know, really kind of, well, the covers were already pulled off, but it's really showing the inconsistencies, the racism, you know, just in that there's a group of white parents that wanted the schools open, wasn't thinking about the safety of our children. They just thought it was most important that their children were educated. We're talking about all of our children, not just, you know, as Benita said earlier, it's not just our you know, African-American children. It's all children, because this is the village talking. We're trying to get the village together. So we want all children to get an education of excellence. And that cannot happen under mayoral control, especially when you have someone trying. Why does one person want to control something? They couldn't even control. We saw the job he's done with the city. So he messed up the city. And then now you want to try to control the school. You see what epic fail that was with the schools. So enough of this already. We already have the data. The statistics are in. And it's saying that all of that money, this $34 billion budget, still cannot produce children that are well-rounded, that are well-educated, that are ready to compete in this world. It's just not happening. So something is wrong. Obviously, that formula is not working. So we need to reshuffle this deck and come up with another governance system that's going to work for our children, for all of our children. So, you know, we got to rethink this whole thing. It's unacceptable for us to continue with this madness. It's not working. It has not worked. So come on now. And it's just a shame. It's just a shame that none of these damn mayor candidates even address the issue. Not even looking at. We've been in a pandemic for over a year now. Our children have not been able to be properly educated. And how do you just, we ignoring this pink elephant in the room? Come on now. This is just unacceptable. I'm sorry. It's just pissing me off.
Listen, you know, you need to vent. You know, and there's so many metrics that we can use in regards to looking at this failure. If you look at the gap in SAT scores between Black and Latino students and Asian and white students, this is a gap that has increased and continues to increase. All right. So when we've got mayors and chancellors who talk about the progress they made, I don't know what they're talking about. I went to Bronx High School of Science, coming out of the projects, Throgsneck Project in the Bronx, poor. All right. And in my graduating class back in the 1960s, we had more Blacks and Latinos in our graduating class than in the entire school of Bronx High School of Science currently. Okay. So this is when we talk about metrics in terms of measuring failure, these are some of the metrics that we have to go ahead and use. So, Sam, what are we going to do?
Well, we have been through the Coalition for Public Education and started to look at rewriting a bill. The problem that people need to understand is that the Mayoral Control Act is something that takes place in Albany, not at City Hall with the City Council, but takes place in Albany. And that's a state, in other words, a state law. And so we have to present, we have to have allies in Albany in the state assembly and present to those allies a draft bill that it, counters mayoral control, a bill that deals with education as a human right and school governance from a people's board of education. So over the years, the Coalition of Public Education had been working with Inez Barron, for one, because she was then in Albany, to write up a people's board of education draft bill. And that's where we are now. It's more than 100 pages, almost 200 pages, but it's a draft. It needs work by people who have legal backgrounds, need to look over this and fine-tune it and so forth. So that's one of the key things. The other thing that we need to understand is that the issue of educational excellence is one that Black people, Black educators have been dealing with since before slavery. And we in 2021, we have the expertise among Black and Latinx educators. We have that expertise to come in and really pull together a very good curriculum, a very good pedagogical structure, very good set of social and psychological practices in the schools. You know, we have those expertise. They have been kicked to the curb for the past 20 years in New York. And so that's one of the things that we're also looking at in terms of when we seize power, when people, when the People's Board comes into existence, then we reach out to all of those Black educators, Latinx educators, progressive Asian educators, progressive white educators, and pull them together and say, this is the challenge. We have to undo, we have to deconstruct and then reconstruct the educational wherewithal within New York City school system. And that means, you know, looking at how do you end charter schools? How do you bring in the dynamic of the gentrifiers into a more democratic process within the neighborhoods and so forth? So it's very, very, very much challenging. But where we have to start first is to get the State Assembly to recognize that there is an alternative to mayoral control and take that, put that in committee and then get that out of committee to get a vote in the State Assembly to say New York City mayoral control should end and two things should happen. One, the People's Board should be created, and secondly, home rule should be the order of the day. In other words, the city council should be the overseer or whatever you want to call it, and not the state council. And so those are two major hurdles. So those are things that we have to struggle for. They're oftentimes very complicated, a lot of internal politics that you got to deal with, so the elected officials. But right now, that's where we are. If we don't do that, then mayoral control will continue to run roughshod and benefit only the super rich and the gentrifiers.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the updated website, because the website has a lot of information, a lot of excellent stuff.
That's Benita.
Okay. Benita, yeah, you're the website person. Tell us about the website, and then we'll go to Sean and see how teachers can get on board, because we know that there's got to be a lot of dissatisfaction in regards to what's happened during the pandemic, what's going to take place in September, where there's still a lot of uncertainty. And the issue, of course, is mayoral control, because you've got one person selecting the chancellor. The latest chancellor seems to be a friend of the mayor's wife. You know, that's how people go ahead. Chancellor Carranza, the process was he went to dinner with the mayor and his wife. That was the process that was used to go ahead and make him the chancellor. I mean, this is a mess.
That's right.
But go ahead, Benita, in terms of the website. And then we'll hear from Sean.
First, let me give you our website address, and that's www.nycmayoralcontrolnot.org. NYCMayoralControlNot.org. Within the website itself, we want it known that this is a Black-led coalition. Our membership is interracial. We welcome everyone of every ethnicity, every background. We welcome teachers, community activists, clergy, students, adolescents, college, you know, folks who are in higher education. We welcome all New York City residents to participate with us. Come to our learning forums. Come and talk to us about your ideas so that this bill incorporates the contemporary concerns of those who are within the education system. So on the website, you'll see that our landing page has a video that was created some years ago. In fact, I filmed Sam Anderson speaking with Esmeralda Simmons, who was ranked just some months ago as one of the 19 top civil rights attorneys in the United States. And Esmeralda Simmons at the Center for Law and Social Justice. She founded that organization and was the executive director of it. It sits at Medgar Evers College, and Sam had a connection because he had worked there and brought Esmeralda in. And she and her team also worked on the other portion that Inez Barron's staff didn't fully complete, and got the bill to a certain point. So if people want to go in and listen to that or watch that video, I think it's very insightful, explaining the structure of what needs to happen, not only in New York City, but of course here, but across the country and those other cities, those other urban cities, which is a very interesting construct of how only cities that have large demographic populations of people of color have mayoral control. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else in the country, even upstate New York, has elected school boards, people in the community who are making decisions about their schools. And that's something in New York City that has been completely eliminated. And in place of that, we've got education councils, but they don't have any teeth. They are gumming, they can't bite into anything. They don't have any power except when it comes to zoning. So the website explains all of that and explains the fact that we're activists. We are based and steeped in human rights, and we are not necessarily professional organizers. We don't have lobbyists. We are grassroots folks who are self-sustaining, coming up out of our own pockets, giving our own sweat equity labor into trying to create a movement and to stand in solidarity with those who are working on issues of housing and unemployment and food insecurity. We can work with all of those organizations so that we can have a larger platform, because somebody who's working in housing, they've got kids. And as you had said at the beginning of the program, education is related, interrelated to every other social ill that's going on in the city. So this is eminently important. It's urgent. So I welcome everybody. Come to the website. Take a look at the pages. Help us build out the education, the piece for educators, because we can't speak for all educators. We're doing learning forums, and the Coalition for Public Education, Brenda and Muba, have been doing Parents Take the Lead. I think they've taken a slight break for a couple of weeks, as I don't yet have their calendar, but that will be going up onto the website. And I invite everyone to come to our public launch, which will be June 22nd, where we will be discussing the struggle for community control. Mm-hmm. And our theory of change, and this is really, really important to us as a Black-led organization, is that we're using the term Sankofa, which is an African term. And Sankofa means that we must know what happened in the past in order to understand where we are presently and then prepare for a better future.
Give the website one more time so people will know where to go.
It's www.nycmayoralcontrolnot.org. And we also have a Facebook page. I haven't done all the rest of the social media, but Facebook page went up today. If you just put in Finally End MC or Finally End Mayoral Control, you'll come across it, and we hope that our work will be shared and that our efforts will grow across the city. So come to our learning forum on the 22nd. Let us know that you're interested, and we'll be finalizing the details and sending out the registration link for that.
Okay. Sean, teachers, how do teachers fit into this? Got to unmute yourself.
Hopefully the teachers will make their voices heard within the UFT. We have a contract being negotiated in this year alongside, you know, before mayoral control is going up. So we would like, or I and hopefully my colleagues would like the UFT not to view mayoral control as some kind of trading point, you know, trade-off issue for the contract negotiations. You know, they negotiate with the mayor. Well, we'll let you have this if you give us this, right? We want to take it out of the bargaining table and put it in the public domain. This is racial disenfranchisement in New York City. That's sort of along the lines with what Benita was saying. And this is the step that must be taken now for everybody who believes in any kind of sense of fairness and equity in New York City. If you want to take a stand, it's not just about, you know, whether you use the right language or not. This is a major structural change that is needed to bring about some kind of democracy in the city. And I think it's that fundamental of an issue.
I think everybody probably agrees or whatever. You know, it's an issue of our time, and so much damage and destruction has been done. And I think that this is, you know, something that people don't recognize, that when Bloomberg created the Byzantine Empire, that he created, where if a parent had a problem, there was literally no person that they could go to anywhere that had any authority to do anything about that particular problem. You know, that this Byzantine Empire that was created, and unfortunately under de Blasio, he has not gone ahead and deconstructed this mess that Bloomberg created. You know, he tried to, make the best of it for himself, because one of the things that we know that happens is that under Bloomberg, there were all of these contracts that, you know, there was at a particular point, you know, these were contracts that were not competitive in any way, that the mayor just went ahead and assigned contracts, spent all different kinds of money, wasted billions of dollars that have not, you know, none of this money has ever been accounted for. And there's been no attempt to try to hold anybody account for all of the particular waste. So when we talk about a $34 billion budget, how much of that money actually goes into classrooms? You know, that is the question. How much of that money actually goes into classrooms and is used to support instruction in any kind of way, shape, or form? You know, this is the issue. So I got to tell you, at one particular point, when the Campaign for Physical Equity had won additional money and they were trying to give the money to Bloomberg, I was like, no, hold the money, put it in escrow, do something else. Right, because right. If this dude gets the money, you know, that's how he went from, you know, being, you know, having, what was it? He had like $6 billion when he came into the mayoralty, and then when he went out, he had $22
billion. Right.
You know, it's
in his pocket.
A mess. It is so disgusting. You know, I don't know what we can really say about it.
I remember he was only taking $1. He said he was only being paid $1 or $2.
Yeah.
But left me a million.
Yep. That's your salary, you know, but this is the thing, you know, you got salary and you got wealth, and there's a big difference between, you know, income and wealth, you know, and workers find out all the time, you know, there's this thing now where we're finding out how much tax, you know, Warren Buffett and Jeff Bezos and, you know, Michael Bloomberg, how much they pay as opposed to what we have to pay. You know, it's amazing, but it's true. Listen,
folks. Don't pay.
Huh?
How much they don't pay.
Yeah, how much they don't pay. Mm-hmm. You know, how much we do pay. You know, it's amazing. But, you know, people's eyes hopefully are opening, and more people are speaking out. But this is an issue that I think people need to really grab a hold of, because we have to do something about this education system. Listen, I got to make a few announcements and then we got to go. You know, this is a show that needs to be 2 hours, so we can go ahead and take some phone calls. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make some arrangements to go ahead so we can, you know, really stretch out, and so that parents and teachers and students can call in and really talk to us, because I think that that's really important. Right. So, you know, sometime, you know, during the summer, you know, as long as everybody's around, you know, we'll try to pull something together where we can go ahead and do that. We've got a couple of announcements. Let me pull this up here. Tomorrow there's going to be a candidate forum for the District 35 City Council. It's going to be via Zoom at 7 p.m. It's presented by the Church of the Open Door. Reverend Dr. Mark V.C. Taylor is the pastor. Latrell Masso is the coordinator. If you want some information about that, if you live in District 35 in Brooklyn, you can call 718-643-1081. That's 718-643-1081. In line with what we're talking about, in District 29 in Queens, there's going to be a demonstration tomorrow because the schools are failing in District 29 in Queens, and parents are going to have a press conference tomorrow. For information about that, you can call 718-570-7350. That's 718-570-7350. You've been listening to Education at the Crossroads. Let's see if we can hear a little bit of the voices of East Harlem right on Be Free. And we'll be back next week. Peace.
Flying bird, fly on. Mother, 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 save your child.
This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels. The Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit proudly announces the Community Cares Listening Line for Black first responders and essential workers. We're here and we're listening. The Community Cares Listening Line is a free, confidential service staffed with responsive volunteers who can provide emotional support and share information with our callers. If you're feeling anxious, afraid, distressed, burdened, or overwhelmed by a range of emotions, please call the Community Cares Listening Line at 877-719-1117. That's 877-719-1117.
Oh, the streets of Rome are filled with rubble. Ancient footprints.
Folk Radio this Thursday night, June 10th at 10 p.m., a tribute to Bob Dylan, with performances by Stevie Wonder, Tracy Chapman, June Carter Cash and Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, Richie Havens, the Clancy Brothers, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Roseanne Cash and Sean Colvin, Neil Young, Chrissy Hynde, Eric Clapton, The Band, George Harrison, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Roger McGuinn, and eventually Bob himself joins them on stage. That's this Thursday night, June 10th at 10 p.m. on Folk Radio here on WBAI.
Greetings, Pacifica members. This year, the month of June brings three different election activities to the network. We urge you to vote, and you can also run as a candidate if you choose. First, the nominations period for the 2021 Local Station Board Delegate elections is now open and continues through June 30th. Second, starting on June 7th, watch for an email, postcard, or paper ballot to vote in the bylaws referendum. Be sure to vote by July 7th. Third, a proposal to amend Pacifica's Articles of Incorporation has been published for your review. For more information about all of these important choices,